Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The Mending of Broken Bones. A Modern Guide to Classical Algebra by Paul Lockhart is a popular mathematics book that reintroduces algebra as a creative, elegant, and deeply human discipline, published for a general readership rather than as a standard textbook. It belongs to the tradition of literary math writing that tries to restore wonder to subjects often flattened by classroom routine. Lockhart, known for arguing that mathematics should be taught as an art, uses this book to move from familiar algebraic problems toward major classical ideas, such as fields, groups, and Galois theory. The purpose is not merely to train readers in symbolic technique, but to help them see why algebra exists and what kind of intellectual pleasure it offers. Throughout, the book challenges the common belief that algebra matters only for practical utility. Instead, it presents the subject as a way of noticing hidden structure, exploring relationships, and participating in one of the great artistic and philosophical achievements of mathematics. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, algebra presented as an art rather than a school procedure. One of the book's most important contributions is its effort to overturn the familiar image of algebra as a grim sequence of rules, drills, and tests. Lockhart treats algebra not as a hurdle to clear for practical life, but as a beautiful intellectual art form. This shift in framing matters because it changes the reader's relation to the subject itself. Instead of asking when a person will use a system of equations in daily life, the book asks what kinds of patterns, transformations, and meanings algebra reveals. That emphasis aligns with Lockhart's broader educational philosophy, in which mathematics is closer to music, drawing, or poetry than to bureaucratic training. In this view, algebra becomes an expressive language for shaping and untangling abstract ideas. The book uses a warm and conversational style to make that case persuasive rather than merely polemical. Readers are invited to appreciate elegance, surprise, and formal beauty, not just correctness. By recasting algebra in aesthetic and philosophical terms, Lockhart offers a defense of pure thought itself. The result is especially powerful for readers whose school experience made algebra seem lifeless, because the book argues that the deadness belonged to the presentation, not to the subject. Secondly, a journey from basic equations to the grand structure of classical algebra, the book is notable for the breadth of its mathematical arc. It begins from accessible algebraic questions, including the familiar business of solving for unknown quantities, and gradually expands toward the larger architecture of classical algebra. Along the way, Lockhart introduces readers to ideas that define the subject at a deeper level, including numerical systems and the structural concepts that culminate in fields and groups. This progression gives the book an important narrative shape. Algebra is not presented as a disconnected collection of tricks, but as a coherent unfolding of ideas whose later sophistication grows naturally from earlier puzzles. The movement toward Galois theory and the unsolvability of the quintic gives the book a genuine climax because those topics historically represent one of the great turning points in mathematics. They show that algebra is not only about finding answers, but also about discovering the limits of certain methods and understanding why those limits exist. For general readers, that is a profound lesson. It reveals that mathematics develops through conceptual reorganization, not just technical accumulation. Lockhart makes this path feel less like a compressed curriculum and more like a guided tour through a living tradition, where elementary manipulations open onto large and beautiful structures. Thirdly, the intimate connection between algebra, geometry, and mathematical imagination. Another central theme of the book is that algebra does not live in isolation. Lockhart emphasizes its deep kinship with geometry and with the broader imaginative life of mathematics. This matters because many readers encounter algebra in school as something purely symbolic and detached from visual or spatial intuition. In contrast, the book suggests that algebraic thinking often gains force when seen alongside geometric ideas, and when allowed to move through different dimensions of representation. Sources on the book note Lockhart's attention to higher dimensional space, and to the surprising interplay between symbolic structure and geometric insight. That combination helps readers understand algebra as a mode of thought that can shift perspective, compress relationships, and reveal form beneath surface complexity. The value of this approach is both intellectual and pedagogical. Intellectually, it shows that mathematics is unified, with different branches speaking to one another. Pedagogically, it makes abstract ideas more inviting because readers are not confined to one narrow style of reasoning. Lockhart's writing has long been praised for encouraging curiosity, and here that curiosity is sustained by showing algebra as part of a larger landscape of patterns. The subject becomes less about manipulation alone and more about seeing, imagining, and connecting. Fourthly, a humane and accessible invitation for readers wary of mathematics. The book's accessibility is not based on simplification alone, but on tone, pacing, and respect for the reader. Lockhart is widely recognized as a gifted expositor, and this work appears designed to welcome people who may carry old anxiety or resentment about algebra. Rather than dismissing those reactions, the book begins from the common experience that algebra classes often felt dull, coercive, or disconnected from real curiosity. Lockhart then patiently rebuilds the subject from a different emotional and conceptual foundation. This humane strategy is a major reason the book stands out. It does not merely explain algebraic concepts. It attempts to repair the reader's relationship with algebra itself. The title reflects that restorative ambition. Review responses suggest that even readers who long ago gave up on school mathematics may find here an unusually congenial guide. The prose is consistently described as charming, personal, and conversational, which matters because advanced ideas become approachable when they are introduced without intimidation. At the same time, the book does not condescend. It assumes that readers are capable of serious thought if they are given a compelling reason to care. That balance between generosity and rigor is rare in popular mathematics writing. And it makes the book especially valuable for self-learners and teachers looking for a more life-giving model of explanation. Lastly, what the book says about the meaning of doing mathematics beyond its treatment of algebraic content, the book also functions as a reflection on what mathematics is for and what it means to practice it. Lockhart's argument is not simply that algebra is useful or even that it is beautiful, but that engaging with it changes the quality of thought. Mathematics appears here as an activity of making distinctions, tracing hidden order, and experiencing the satisfaction of conceptual clarity. In that sense, the book belongs to a larger conversation about the cultural value of pure mathematics. It asks readers to consider why a civilization should preserve and teach difficult ideas that are not immediately justified by everyday utility. The answer, as the book presents it, lies in the human good of understanding, invention, and aesthetic pleasure. Classical algebra becomes a case study in how thought can become refined, playful, and profound all at once. The move toward topics such as Galois theory reinforces this point, because the drama of those ideas shows mathematics at its most ambitious and self-aware. The book therefore offers more than mathematical exposition. It provides a defense of intellectual life against narrow utilitarianism for teachers, students, and general readers. That broader argument may be one of its most lasting achievements because it restores mathematics to the sphere of culture, imagination, and meaning. In conclusion, The Mending of Broken Bones is best suited to readers who want more from mathematics than classroom competence. It will especially reward teachers, curious adult readers, strong students, and anyone trying to understand why algebra has inspired generations of mathematicians. Readers looking for a conventional workbook or a tightly systematic textbook may need something more procedural alongside it, but those seeking insight, motivation, and conceptual orientation will find it unusually rich. Its practical benefit lies less in drill-based skill building than in reshaping mathematical understanding. A reader can come away with a clearer sense of how elementary problems lead into structural ideas, why concepts such as groups and fields matter, and how major results like the unsolvability of the quintic fit into the story of algebra. The intellectual benefit is even greater. The book encourages readers to think of mathematics as a creative art with its own standards of beauty and depth. That is what makes it stand out in the popular math category. Many books explain mathematical ideas clearly, but fewer combine exposition, advocacy, and literary voice so effectively. Lockhart's distinctive strength is that he does not merely describe algebra from the outside, he invites readers into its sensibility. For those willing to follow that invitation, the book offers not only knowledge, but a changed way of seeing the subject. If you would like to support Paul Lockhart, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.